I'll give you my non, let's say it's public literature. Well, let's see, you want to talk about a little bit about the Cold War during the 70s, and then Nixon's Dayton agreements and how it compares to some of the activities that I see going on today. I can only give you my opinion. That's open literature, and you can find this stuff on the net. You may have to look for it, but at the time Kennedy was president, he said that he made a vision that he wanted to make set a man on the moon in this decade, before the decade's out. And that spawned a sort of the space race. And Kennedy had all kinds of trouble getting financial support from Congress to do his program for the moon or any other program that involves space. And he also had the Cuban Missile Crisis to put up with at that particular time, which is about the closest we've ever come to direct-out nuclear war. But he was able to, and Gary Powers got shot out of the air with a missile from Russia at some, he claimed he was at 95,000 feet, and I'm not sure where he was. But the Russian missiles wouldn't go over 90,000, 5,000 feet, so whatever. He was shot down. That was really a big error. The U-2s were slow. The SR-71s that followed that were very quick, and we still don't know exactly how fast they were flying. But they had to be at Mach 3, meaning three times the speed of sound, and high altitude, and they got a lot of information, photographic information, and things like that. The pilots, for the most part, were, I don't know. Many times I go back to the X-15. X-15 were, they would have to crawl through the B-52 wings and ease themselves down into behind. No, it was in front of that liquid ammonia tank and the liquid hydrogen or the liquid oxygen tank. But the LOX ammonia tank and the oxygen tank, and then they let they were dropped at various altitudes, but let's say in the order of let's say in the order of 70,000 feet, but something like that. They were dropped off the wing, and they then kicked that X-15 rocket engine in. Oh, man, those guys had to have guts, really guts. And they flew to the edge of space with that thing, some 100,000 feet. But it was not a space vehicle, but they learned a great deal about space vehicles at that time. And while I was out at Rocketdyne, I think I already told you about the troops at Veracruz with a XB-70 bomber. And I don't know if I told you about the dinosaur or not, But when I was out there, I heard about Dinosaur, which, yeah, I did tell you about already. Anyhow, it was a space plane that had nuclear weapons, and they could drop them any place they wanted to. But the point is, you don't drop a weapon out of space. You have to guide it out of space, and it has to go through reentry in order to get to its target. There's a lot of that that goes on that we don't really know about, and I don't really care to know about it. I do know about the planes that used to be able to be tracked by ground radar, and also by the RAF radar, who were flying over Mach 6. But nobody knows about those. There's just no word about it. And so, just leave it at that. So today, each time that the United States seems to have something or not, Russia and China have to duplicate it. It's a leapfrog type war. They want to make sure that the United States will never attack them. And the United States has never attacked anybody that I know of. No, I guess I better leave it at that, because I do know some things about that. But at any rate, the idea is that we're not an aggressive nation, but we could have been. We could have ruled the world if we wanted to after World War II, because we had the atomic bomb. Nobody else had it. And we could have just taken over every nation in the world and dominated it. But this nation never did that. And I don't think they ever will do that. At least that's my hope. And with God's guidance, we won't. But we need His guidance. There are too many people out there that are trigger happy in that sense. They want to build something that'll just kill other people. That's all they want to do. That's all they're commissioned to do. That's all they know how to do. I don't want any part of that. So the type of work that I'm working on and things like that, which you a little bit ask about, is that with this leapfrogging attitude, the Russians now have developed a hypersonic vehicle which is deployed, so it's available. It's deployed. It can hit a target every hour, any hour, target within an hour. I don't know that it can travel the full length of the Earth. In other words, 12,000 miles or 15,000 kilometers or not, but it has a range and they can launch it and guide it. Chinese have a little bit mum on that, but they have also have their hypersonic vehicles, and they have been working very diligently on hypersonics for years. Have enormous amounts of information, and this has been clipped right now by communications by some of the trade agreements, and of course the trade agreements are such that it's been a warfare between China and the rest of the world for quite some time. And China decided that they didn't have to really do it militarily. They could just do it economically. And they've done very well at it. because this country cannot afford that kind of a debt that they have. And the debt that they have right now is for every taxpayer in this country. In this country, our debt supersedes $1 million per person per taxpayer. It's just enormous sums of money, $240-some trillion we owe in debt. It's climbing. We're living on borrowed time. So the hypersonics vehicles, why do we need hypersonics vehicles? There's some places that people want to get in very short periods of time and need to get there in very short periods of time. And the developments now are looking for to Boeing, and why do I bring Boeing back in? Because Boeing had Dinosaur. Dinosaur was the nuclear bombs in space. And hypersonics fly right to the edge of space. They're not quite orbital vehicles, but very close. So they're running about 100 or so thousand feet where the X-15 flew. And that ties in the X-15 to that. The information that we gathered there from the X-15 has been used by many designers, and I won't say much more about that. Activities that are going on right now is that Boeing has announced that they're going to build a commercial vehicle which will get people to wherever they want to go in less than an hour, something like that. The country can't afford to do it, but it'll wind up doing it, probably. Just as France and England, and I told you before, the France and England wound up paying for the Concorde development costs so that Air France and British Airways could operate financially stable for 28 years. And they did, but they didn't have any of the development costs. They didn't pay anything for the airplanes. They all were paid for by the governments. And I just don't believe that our government can afford, with the debt that we have, to take on another debt like the development of the hypersonics. So unless Boeing has enough deep pockets, which I don't think they have, especially with the 737 stretch or MX lawsuits that they're going to face, I just don't see it. But that's my opinions, not that of the Boeing people or the government or any other people. But I've written a white paper on this. I don't think anybody will ever read it. And I don't think it'll ever get out of the government. But all the accidents that have been reported recently from Airbus and the Australian Airlines, and certainly those for the 737 MAX, could have been avoided if they had the proper training. And military pilots do have that type of training, but we don't have very many military pilots now. So we lost a lot of people to artificial intelligence and control systems which are inadequate. The unfortunate part about it is people knew about it, and nobody admits it. Even the FAA and the international group that's investigating aircraft accidents. I think that's about all I better share about these things.